Shalom, peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. This is V the Preacher, and welcome to 180 Degree Wednesday. I am a little late today, got sidetracked, and we normally come on at 10 a.m. a little later, but, you know, later is better than never in this particular instance. I pray that you are doing well, mentally, physically, and spiritually, most importantly. We've been in a series discussing the importance of bringing ourselves to a place of deliverance as we begin to awaken and combat the curses that we have brought upon ourselves, our people, our society, now that we're finding out we are the indigenous Israelites of many lands. And the things we're taking ownership and accountability for, the things that have come upon our community because of our disobedience. And through all that we've been through, we've been submitted to reckless amounts of PTSD. And we think that this has a lot to do with just generational curses, something you picked up from grandpa and different things like that. No, this goes back to our ancestors, forefathers, who unfortunately wanted to be like the other nations who were not the chosen people of Yah. And they wanted a king, they wanted to act like them, party like them, eat like them, dress like them. What am I saying? In other words, they got into comparative self-worth. This is going to be the second part in our series that we're starting. Part two, comparative self-worth, breaking the cycle, breaking the curses, breaking the bitter root judgment that we have deeply ingrained in our psyches. The trauma has been encoded in our DNA, which is why you must be born again and acclimate yourself to his commandments, because not keeping the commandments, breaking the commandments, is the perpetual cycle that led our people to what we're into now. It's not the white man. It's not the the wannabe man. These people are definitely caught up into identity theft and wanting to take everything that we were a part of. But once we began to take accountability for what we did as a people to our God and our culture and walking away from it through this mechanism, the accountability will lead to us becoming more resolute and start to build our spiritual self-esteem as a nation of people. But that can't happen until you stop looking over the fence to see if the grass is greener and start taking care of your own yard. Stop compromising the dignity of your soil and start taking care of your soil and pouring into what you need to pour into your soil that will help to take care of your land. My people who will call by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I heal them and I'll begin to heal their land. We're in the process of healing, people. This is a healing hour for our people. As we come into the knowledge, it's not just enough to have the knowledge. You must be a part of restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. And you must come up under the rule of law because you are not a part of a culture. It's indicative that you become a citizen of a nation by understanding the laws that govern that nation, which are the laws of Yah. Without further ado, let's move to this comparative self-worth part two. I believe part one, we last week talked about cognitive dissonance. Today, comparative self-worth, let me put it in layman's terms. It's something to do with keeping up with the Joneses. It's the part of the curse that follows us to where we feel disenfranchised because we want our 40 acres and a mule, and we want what everyone else has, instead of wanting what Yah originally intended for us in healing our community. Comparative self-worth is when you size yourself up with someone who you deem successful to see where you stand and how you measure up. And brothers and sisters, that is a mechanism that's designed to definitely take your joy and your self-esteem. Trying to measure your self-worth based upon the guy next to you or ahead of you, talking about, I'm next, I'm waiting my turn. We shouldn't even use these terms that saying, we got next. Once it's time for us to start healing, and once we begin to heal from within, our exterior collectively will be impacted. So we as a people have constantly compared our situation to others and asked for a handout to equalize the playing field, which is not what our God and our culture is requesting of us. The identity theft is at an all-time high, and people are getting away with murder, and there's witchcraft being utilized on our people to where they can say things about their pain and their suffrage and what they went through and how they feel. But when we do it, we're causing separation and we're speaking hate speech. And the reason they're reacting that way is because they are guilty. So what we're hearing is a lot of guilt speech for how they have their foot and knees on our necks and how they have socially engineered us out of society and how they're using their money as a weapon against us and how they have erased the history books and have played a part in our enslavement. What we're hearing is guilt speech. You come back to these people when they say you're using hate speech and separation, let it be known that they're using guilt speech. Self-worth is a feeling that you are a good person who deserves to be treated with respect. Self-worth, which is sometimes used interchangeably with self-esteem and self-confidence, self-value, is something that most of us struggle with at least from time to time, if not more often. Some are open about their struggles with having a good sense of self-worth, and others have a difficult time expressing it, but studies show that by and large, many people have problems with self-worth. According to positive psychology systems, the top five factors most people use to measure their self-worth and compare it to other people is how I look, how much money I got, what social circle am I in and who's in my social circle, what kind of career do I have compared to everybody else, and what have I done with my life, what are my achievements? These are the traps and the pitfalls that get you to begin to destroy your self-esteem and become a mere reflection of yourself, something that you create. And most of us that fall into this poor comparative self-worth and low self-esteem begin to create a persona that is not our true selves. Self-worth and relationships, understand how self-worth can affect your relationship. Sometimes it's easier to know the possible causes of low self-worth. Your negative experiences in early childhood. I'm going to talk about maybe situational depression next week, but your early experiences have impacted and affected you. But as I stated earlier, encoded in your DNA is the trauma that we've gone through as a people, the lynchings, the beatings, the hangings, the burnings. And Deuteronomy 28:15-68 lets you know that these are on us for a sign forever due to our disobedience to the Most High Yah. And over the years, we have impacted this PTSD and trauma on us and tried to blame it on everyone else. We got ourselves in trouble with the civil rights movement by in the 60s saying, we want to sit at your counter and eat your tuna sandwich. No, and they spit in it. Instead of keeping our own communities like Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they still attacked us when we wanted to be to ourselves, but then we wanted to integrate. I digress. Negative core beliefs that you're nothing, that you're a cursed people based upon Ham, Hamitic, and that's not us. Ham's son, Canaan, cursed, that's not us. We're Shemitic. We're the Afro-Asiatic sons of Shem, And Jacob is our forefather, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and we are the Israelites. It was President Nasser of Egypt early on that said, I'll never accept the way the people that are in that state right now, because they left here black but came back white. I digress. In addition to affecting relationships, low self-worth can also come with the following effects: problems at work, school, becoming very upset when criticized, and withdrawing. Do you know people who can't take any criticism? Withdrawing from other people and activities, avoiding anything where you may be judged or measured against other people, either not looking after your appearance or overcompensating by always being perfectly groomed, possible depression and anxiety, eating disorders, social phobia, attention deficit disorder, and substance abuse. Some of the specific effects that low self-worth can have from you comparing yourself to what other people have, can have on relationships, are feeling like your self-worth is tied up in your relationship, or feeling as though the state of your relationship directly affects how you feel about yourself. I digress. Let me move forward. How do we begin to not compare ourselves and build better self-worth? First of all, you know, me being a spiritual man and being a preacher, that I'm going to tell you, we as a people have to come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, the dietary laws, and start nation building and become autonomous as a reawakening culture, and separate ourselves from this culture, Babylon, America's pagan activities. Christmas, we don't keep Hanukkah. We kept the Feast of Dedications. Separating ourselves from New Year's, its customs, this world's customs, and pulling our people up by the bootstrap holistically, spiritually, and dynamically, and seeing ourselves become delivered from trying to appease these other nations and appeal to these people and make covenants and sign contracts with these people and ask them to give us money, pay me, I'll entertain you, I'll dance for you, I'll sing for you. Am I great? Can you give me an award? Can I get an award? Can I get a Grammy? Can I get an Emmy? No. It's time to find your value as an eternal soul and spirit who lives forever, make an impact for the short amount of time that you have here, and get back to your God. Some tips for building self-esteem. Identify your negative thought patterns. Once identified, begin acknowledging when and where maladaptive thoughts arise. When these automatic thoughts pop up, start thinking about the why behind them. Start questioning your assumptions and gather evidence against your biases. Start performing a cost-benefit analysis of your negative thoughts. Switch negative thoughts for positive ones. Keep a journal of your thoughts and progress. Look at your relationships. If you have friends who nitpick everything you say and make you feel poorly about yourself, it might be time to broaden your horizons. Take the advice you give to others. Practice self-compassion. Recognize who you are, your emotions, and thoughts as data. Stop thinking in black and white. Take hints from people around you. Find people you trust and respect. Take note of how they respond to challenging situations or negative feedback. Ask yourself, what are my intentions in everything you do? Say no when you need to. Avoid must and should statements. Must and should statements lock you into black and white thinking. You are likely placing unreasonable demands and expectations on yourself. Implement self-care routines. And then I close it out by saying, keep the Sabbath. Keep the holy days. Come back to Yah. Keep the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Stop being ratchet. And start working on being a peaceful, loving, caring, set-apart, Kodesh person. And the Most High will meet you there. All right, that's been my time. I'm V the Preacher, and I'm going to end by saying that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already got it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Kwam Yasha Allah, I pray that you be your best self and put Yah first, seek his kingdom. Only what you do for Yeshua will last. Trust. Peace and blessings.